Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
My name is Stephen Bonnell. I'm known online as Destiny, and I'm here to debate 7 Trump supporters today. This is my third prompt. I think that Doge was a spectacular failure, and I think that the Trump administration has shown that they have the propensity to spend like crazy, just like every prior Republican administration, and the worst thing is they're doing it for literally no reason.
Okay, so you said Doge is a waste, and the Trump administration is wasteful? They spend too much?
I think it was just a total sham. They undersold or oversold like crazy. They came in just an embarrassingly low amount. It caused so much trouble, lost so much political capital for they just did nothing.
Do you agree with the intention at least? Or
no.
Not at all?
No.
Would you say that, well, on Doge, what was the problem with it? Like, do you think they fired too many workers or what? Like,
I think the issue is that they started off with a couple of truisms, which is waste, fraud, and abuse, which I think is silly because if you ask somebody, should we get rid of waste, fraud, and abuse? The answer is always yes, but nobody really asks what that means or how much is too much or what length you should go to for anything. So because they didn't really have a clear mission at the beginning, what it just ended up becoming was, what unpopular programs can we maybe try to cut away from without actually focusing on actual waste, fraud, or abuse? And the majority of the stuff that came out from Doge that people were so surprised to see were usually just like reprints from older Office of Inspector General or Office of Budget Management things that we already know. So,
what is your perspective on the size of the federal government?
I don't
like the current size of the federal government, the other government agencies
don't really have one,
like Department of Education.
I think that people hyperfixate on like arbitrary sizes. I think we should decide what we want the government to do, and then we should deploy the resources and the personnel necessary for the government to do it.
Are you aware of how many federal workers the Clinton administration, who was the last time we had a surplus, was under the Clinton administration? Are you aware of how many workers they laid off?
I'm not, but I know that the federal workforce that we've had has been pretty steady, I think, for like the past, I want to say like 3 decades. It's been about the same number of employees.
Well, I mean, the Clinton administration let go of 400,000 federal employees when they hit that surplus. That was one of many. I think if Clinton were to run, he would run as probably a conservative now. So I think when you say that Doge is a failure, I think that their intentions are good. I think that maybe we could, you know, have some agreement that the execution could have been better. But I think in general, downsizing the role of the federal government, reprivatizing a lot of the money that is spent on those jobs and, you know, shifting that over to the private sector, I think is overall positive.
I think that what you're saying, that I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but the problem is what you're talking about is not what Doge was for. Doge was for waste, fraud, and abuse. If you want to be brave and make systematic cuts or programmatic cuts from the government, then do it. But the problem is Trump doesn't know how like Congress works or legislation works, so he just tries to do as much unilaterally as he can. And so Doge came in, like I said, with the goal of basically cutting things that Trump doesn't like, and they lied saying it was for waste, fraud, and abuse.
But I don't think it was a complete lie. I mean, even like you said, even the CBO's own analysis say that, I forget the exact number, I should have pulled it up before coming up here, but there's hundreds of billions of waste, like per the CBO's own admission.
Yeah, but we didn't get rid of any of it. We just cut employees.
Well, we got rid of some of it. I think that overall, like the spending on these kind of like NGO, like spending on NGOs, these
things that we don't like, though. That's not waste, fraud, or abuse.
I guess then what would qualify in your eyes as waste, fraud or abuse?
So waste, I would say, would be things like redundant spending. Fraud would be people lying about what payments are being received or spent on. And abuse would be, I don't know.
But there is a whole effort on the Medicaid side, for example, to cut fraudulent payments.
Yeah.
Right?
Done by the Office of Inspector General for those departments already. Same thing with the Social Security Administration. And that's largely what DOJ was reporting.
What they largely do is audit, but there's usually no...
Well, they audit and then they take like action plans to the administrations. And
they don't really take action
they do.
Plans.
They do.
It's the same.
It's a massive government. If we didn't take any, it's not the same every year. If we didn't take any actions, then there would be a tremendous amount of waste, fraud, and abuse in the government. There's a reason why DOJ found absolutely nothing.
Well, did they find nothing? Is that true?
Correct.
So the 120 something billion dollars or 180, whatever it was, that was just nothing, or?
It's either recommendations to cut people they don't like, so like USAID, or it's just restatements that we've already known about. So things that were already found by Office of Inspector Generals or whatever.
I guess I just generally, I find that the Democrats talk a lot about fiscal responsibility and stuff too, but they just, at least the Republicans are trying, like maybe sure we could.
Republicans are the ones that have, you said it yourself, Clinton was the last budget surplus. Republicans have spent like crazy.
Well, I mean, in my opinion, Trump is honestly, like in terms of, fiscal policy and economics, I think he's actually pretty left. He does overspend.
I don't know why I would say that's left. That's Republicans for the past 30 years.
How?
Bush, how much did we spend in Iraq and Afghanistan?
What makes up the federal budget? Medicaid, Social Security, interest on debt, and Medicare. Those are all Democrat policies. 70% of the federal...
First of all, Medicare is universally loved. To say that that's a Democrat policy...
No, I'm saying... It was pushed and enacted under Democratic administration.
That's fine. This is 100 years ago. Okay? We're talking about New Deal stuff.
Saying that these things have created a... The deficit that we're facing now is largely due to Democrat policy.
We have a budget... Medicare still existed. My understanding is it was still around when Bill Clinton was president. He ran a budget surplus.
Of course. It's passed down to through every administration.
A huge amount of the debt that we've accrued recently came from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
Yeah, but that's a little bit dishonest because those are CBO scoring based on static numbers, right?
We can look at how much money we borrow and spend each year. It's gone up.
It has gone up, but I'm just saying that there's a mechanical difference between... You understand how the deficit is scored, right? It's not just money spent. It's... anytime the government projects any money that they're not taking in, that's added to the deficit.
You're talking about projections. We can look at what's actually happened, though.
I'm not talking about the projections. I'm talking about when the government accounts for what the deficit is going to be, they include any money that they wouldn't collect as part of the deficit.
You're talking about like the 10-year horizons for how they're scoring like legislation and stuff.
You mentioned the tax.
But I'm saying like under Biden, there was a massive gulf in how much tax revenue we could have collected that we didn't because of the Trump Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
That's not necessarily true though, because actually revenues went up under the Trump. TCJA made all revenues go up.
But the tax
corporate taxes went down momentarily, but overall revenues went up because federal income taxes were so much greater.
The amount of money that the federal government would have collected had tax brackets remained the same, decrease.
No, that's not true.
We
can look at IRS numbers. It's just not true.
How could that not?
Federal income, because the tax base has expanded. Federal income tax revenues increased with the
TCJA.
That's
fine, but are we assuming that the economy wouldn't have grown anyway? Or
It would have not grown as much. Yeah.
It probably would have, maybe, this has maybe to not, do, maybe it would have been like 15% or 25%.
Here we're getting into economic concepts, right? And it's paradoxical, I agree, but like...
It's not paradoxical.
It is.
It's not.
Tax cuts increase revenues.
That is paradoxical. When you give people more money, sometimes they tend to spend more money, but there's a...
It's not just that they spend more money. It's that this has to do with elasticity of taxable income. People, when you lower taxes, people essentially, they increase the amount of taxable income the amount of money that is subject to tax to be taxable increases. Therefore, that's what I mean by broadening the tax base. Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying. I mean, theoretically, we can talk about like the Laffer curve. Like you can set an optimal tax rate that's high or low. But like I'm saying that like if we set tax rates at 1%, you agree that we would collect far less revenue, right?
Oh, at 1%, absolutely.
And if we set it at 99%, we would collect far less revenue as well, right?
There's a historical precedent, and this was also included in the TCJ and the Win Big Beautiful Bill, that every time you lower taxes, like every time the Republicans have come in and lowered taxes, they actually have increased revenue, especially from the top 1%.
Yeah, but the question is whether or not the revenue would have gone up more. The tax revenue would have gone up more. And right now we haven't got any...
How can you say it would have gone up more?
Because there's less tax being collected.
No, there's more tax.
So all the CBS scoring we don't trust, the fact that
we don't trust it. It's that we acknowledge that they're basing on static numbers. They're essentially treating individuals as blocks of wood.
I mean, I would argue that the Trump admin has done that when they calculate tariffs and when they project the revenues to be from tariffs.
tariffs is another.
Sure. Yeah.
Tariffs is a whole nother conversation, but. So you had mentioned earlier, I don't know what you consider yourself now, but you had mentioned earlier that you are, were or are libertarian leaning. But what do you define as being libertarian?
I wouldn't describe myself as a libertarian. I think I said that in regards to like markets, but I wouldn't truly say I'm a libertarian. I believe in capitalism. I think markets are real. I think that sometimes markets can't account for everything. And when markets can't do what we want them to do socially, then we supplement that with government policy, broadly speaking.
Okay. So you believe in markets first, government management or supervision or.
Kind of, yeah. But I mean, even when you do the government management, the markets are still going to respond to that. So you have to take that into account.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's a feedback loop.
Yeah.
To the whole thing. I'm just interested to hear that your focus is market first, government support is the way the loop should go.
Yeah.
And my understanding, though, I know there's a lot of ways to translate libertarianism, but my understanding is libertarianism is the idea of give me as much freedom or ability as possible. Just some safety to do it within. The night watchman theory of there's a night watchman theory of libertarianism.
Sure. I feel like libertarianism is a bit like socialism to where 100 people will define it 100 different ways.
Yeah. You know,
but yeah.
Yeah.
So for most libertarians, I would say most people that identify as libertarian today would say that they're probably against a lot of the immigration, but traditionally libertarians are open borders, but very few libertarians would actually own that position today. I think libertarians is just a position that people give when they're like conservative, but they don't want to say it for some reason, but.
Well, I think the idea, or at least the way I see it, the idea is that I'm in this spot and you're in that spot. You do what you want in your spot and I do what I want in my spot. And avoiding that interference between what I'm doing, what you're doing is really what I see is the goal of libertarianism. That
sure.
I'm not impacting you. You're not impacting me. Go about your business.
Sure. It could be. Yeah.
So that going off of George's comments earlier, so the Laffer curve, what's interesting with that is that's kind of a loose proof, but it is demonstrable. Different economies react different ways, but it is demonstrable that there's about a 17% or so tax burden load that U.S. citizens on average will accept. If you expand on that burden, It slows down consumer activity. If you go underneath that burden, yeah, even though it speeds things up, it'll still saturate. There is a saturation point, and different economies react different ways, but the U.S. economy generally has a saturation point. Now, getting back to Doge, the point of Doge was what? What do you
think? It's supposed to be a waste, fraud, and abuse.
Yeah, but to do what with it?
To cut it.
But who has the authority to cut?
Depends on who you ask. Trump says he does. Congress says they do. And then it's going to come down to the individual administration you talk about. Yeah.
Trump never said he had the authority to cut. The whole point was to identify it, to present it to Congress. It's because Trump is the executive branch. He does not have authority to determine budgets. So if the point of DOGE is to identify things to cut, but that's in the administrative branch, not the executive branch, or the legislative branch, not the executive branch. Are you disappointed that they even tried to identify things, or are you disappointed that more things aren't being cut?
Well, I mean, I think it reinforces the idea that they didn't find waste, fraud, and abuse. I think if they had waste, fraud, and abuse that they'd identified and they suggested it to legislators, I think the legislator would be all for cutting it. What they really found were just programmatic cuts they were trying to suggest.
You're familiar with the concept of perverse incentive, right?
Sure.
Now, I'm going to throw out a statistic, but multiple times I've heard on just the regular news in California that when they've audited the disability insurance aid, when they've audited disability insurance aid in the state of California, they have found roughly 50% fraud.
50%?
50.
I seriously doubt that, but...
I assure you, if you look it up, 50% of claims through the disability system can be measured to be fraudulent.
Then a year or two later, you hear the same report. Oh, they did an audit. 50% was found to be fraudulent. Problem is, what's the motivation to cut the abuse, the fraud and abuse? Yeah, it depends on who's getting that money. So what would be the motivation to cut?
The vast majority of taxpayers would probably not be happy with 50% of the program being wasteful.
Taxpayers are not part of the legislative branch.
But they vote on the legislators.
Well, they vote poorly in some cases.
And it sounds like they don't care that much about it, I guess.
Every legislator is got clean hands. So pointing finger at Trump for DOGE, pointing fingers at people involved in DOGE for not making cuts is disingenuous because they're not allowed to make the cuts.
Well, I point the finger at Trump because Trump believed that Elon could get the job done. Elon clearly wasn't capable of getting the job done. So I can blame Trump for being bad at hiring, and then I can blame Elon for being ineffective at his job. And then I can blame DOGE for, at the end of the day, not really finding what they set out to find and causing a whole bunch of noise while they were not finding anything.
All right.
It's not like they recommended like $1 trillion worth of waste, fraud, and abuse cuts to Congress. It was just like programmatic cuts, like getting rid of like DEI or NGO payments they didn't like or whatever. But it wasn't actually like wasteful or fraudulent spending. And most of the wasteful, fraudulent spending they talked about was stuff that we already knew about from Office of Inspector General reports.
But were any of those, what was cut from the Inspector General reports? Did they make those cuts?
I mean, there are things that they're constantly working on.
Did Congress absorb the cuts?
Well, it's the things that are constantly being worked on, but like cutting waste, fraud, and abuse is a process in and of itself. You have to figure out like how much fraud there is, if it's worth it to combat it, if like what it would take to combat it. Like these are complicated questions, right?
Yeah. So, but you didn't say that they have made the cuts.
It's a process they're always working on, right?
Of course, everything's always a process. So saying that DOGE being part of a process did not come to a conclusion by now, even though there are things in process.
Well, but I'm saying DOGE was just an unnecessary...
The process isn't complete.
But DOGE was an unnecessary bureaucratic layer that didn't have the talent nor the knowledge to audit these departments effectively, which is why they ended up finding nothing and just repeated the same things that were already being said.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
But are there still items from DOGE in process?
Probably not.
There are very many in process.
I don't think so.
The few things that they put to Congress at this point were to test the waters to see if Congress would react, which they reacted very slowly because one has to be concerned with their governments. This even goes back to Plato. I'm paraphrasing, but you can't trust your governments to not have perverse incentives. So with, for instance, the California, the fraud in the disability spending is clearly the medical groups like to have it. The cities like to have it. they like to have claim that they've got so many people employed through it.
I think there's a lot of other people.
It doesn't do any good for their statistics to rock the boat.
I think there's a lot of other people that wouldn't like that. I think there's a lot of other groups that could be taking money from the government that wouldn't like that. I think the citizens wouldn't like paying taxpayer money into it, especially when I don't think the majority of citizens are handicapped or require disability payouts. And I think that we're not going to hear anything for the next 4 years about DOGE at all.
But no one cares what you or I think if they're the ones getting the money and they've got legislators that don't want to move on it.
All right. So first, I just wanted to ask a few questions to see your perspective and everything. So do you believe that there is waste, fraud, and abuse within the federal government? And do you agree with the original intent of DOGE?
There's probably waste, fraud, and abuse in every single thing. Sure. The question is if there's a meaningful amount that can be addressed in a financially appropriate way.
Scale.
No, I don't think. No, definitely not now. And then do I agree with the original mission? Maybe with more competent people. Not the way that it was implemented. No. I think everybody that knew anything about how government worked knew that that was always doomed to fail.
Gotcha. So within the federal government, I mean, we have about, I think, 2 million people working for the federal government. For every state, county, and city level government added on top of the federal government, we have 20 million government employees, which seems like
sounds really high, but okay.
It is very high, exactly. So that's every single government combined across the nation is going to be 20 million employees, which is probably about 10% of the workforce works for the government, which is a waste, fraud, and abuse, in my opinion, because every time I meet someone who says that they work for the government, especially the federal government, they don't do a thing, or maybe they work 5 hours a week. But in my opinion, I think that we should fire a good 90% of office workers within the federal government.
Have you ever talked to anybody that works for a private company?
What was that?
You ever talked to anybody that works for a private company?
Private companies actually have like a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse, but not as much as the federal government does, because private companies obviously have a profit incentive, while the federal government does not.
I think there's a lot of people that jerk off, or not literally, but mess around on the clock and don't work that hard. I don't think meaningfully we were able to find this in the federal government. If it is the case that they're just wasting a lot of time, OJ didn't find it. I don't see any reports about that.
Well, yeah, of course that will happen in private industry, but the management would have a incentive to fire the people to make the company more profitable, while the federal government does not have an incentive to do so.
The federal government has an incentive to meet budget. The federal government has responsibility to the voters. They could get voted out if they fuck up too much. Private companies, I mean, management doesn't really care. Well, they're just given guidelines and goals.
Congress will be voted out.
Sure.
And a lot of the White House staff will be taken out with the current president that's in office. But I'm talking about the federal employees. The swamp, as Trump likes to say. I feel like just every time I meet one, they don't work at all. This is from my own personal experience, instead of looking at their official reports, because of course they're going to BS their official reports and pretend that they're working. In my opinion, I think that they're working fake jobs, similar to jobs in the Soviet Union, where they would give people jobs counting nuts and bolts one day and then
that's really crazy given the effectiveness of the United States government compared to other governments on the planet, and the fact that it seems like the U.S. government is a pretty robust and tenacious government that's been able to achieve and affect quite a lot of good stuff in the country. So I mean that's, if you talk to federal workers that do that, that's pretty sad. Most of the federal workers I talk to seem to be pretty hard workers. Most of the private workers I talk to seem to be pretty hard workers. Some people might spend some time goofing off on the clock, but I don't think there's anything we could point to show conclusively, or to even feel like, oh yeah, I think federal workers are goofing off. And if you can always fire them, it's not like they have tenure and they can't be fired. You would just have to have people that would do the firing, right?
Well, the United States obviously is a lot better off than a lot of countries in the world, but that's because of our geography being in a great fertile area where we can farm in the South and the Midwest, and also having two coastlines. We have a great economy because of that, and also because of the freedom that we have from the Constitution. Not because of the federal workers goofing off on the off the clock, and a lot of them work from home.
I'm pretty sure there's a lot of agriculture in Central and South America. Yes. They have a lot of the same advantages we do. The United States clearly outperformed all of them. I think it's more than just our geography, right?
Compared to South America, we're going to have a lot more smarter people in America.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that is because we've created an attractive place for talent from all over the world to come to.
Brain drain from China and India, for an
sure,
example.
Maybe, yeah.
Like that,
but
right?
I mean, I think that like part of this structure and institution is safeguarded by and facilitated by a lot of the U.S. government,
but
right?
But the United States functioned completely fine without this mass scale of government employees. I mean, 100 years ago, we probably had about, I'm going to guess, less than 1% of people working for the all governments combined. Well, now it's at 10% of the workforce. So
I would have to check numbers then. I'm pretty sure we've had the same number of federal workers. It's either 5 million or 500,000. But I think we've had the same number of federal workers for the past like 30 years. Like the number is basically unchanged.
Well, I'm talking about based off of percentage. Like what percent of the
population. Well, as a percentage, it would be going down then, because if we have the same absolute number and the population is growing.
Well, I'm not talking about the 90s. I'm talking about like 100 years ago. Before income tax, or maybe a little
bit. Yeah,
but
100 years ago, I mean, like the world is not at 100 years ago. So I don't know why I would look to 100 years ago for markers on success. That's like talking to socialists who say, in the 50s, we had a 90% tax bracket.
You're right. The world's not where it was at 100 years ago, because now today we have AI that can replace a good 90% of federal employees, but the federal government won't do that. Probably because a lot of these people who are in management want to have a lot of employees under them. I don't know, to feel power or something.
Why is an AI replace 90% of employees across all of the ordinary corporate world then?
They have replaced a lot of people within the corporate world.
Not 90%.
A lot of things. Well, not 90%.
Not anywhere close to that.
Well, that's because a corporate world cuts a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse, while the federal government does not. So the private companies
might
have a little bit.
I've heard that said, but why didn't Doge find a bunch then?
I'm not sure why. Maybe they have found it. Maybe they're getting ready to do something. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I'm not Trump. I'm not Elon Musk. I'm not too sure with what their day-to-day operations are. If they have some huge thing where they're going to fire a 100,000 government employees. I'm not sure what's happening with their day to day, but with the intent of Doge, if they are telling the truth, I 100% approve of Doge. But like you said, you don't approve of the original intent of Doge. And I mean, I'm curious, do you think this country would be fine if we were to fire the 50% of the laziest government employees?
Probably not.
Why? What would
half the government workforce? Seems like a lot of things would probably start to fail or not work anymore.
Like what? Of office employees, not.
So we're leaving all the DOD and everything alone?
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine that like wait times for, like if you have to call in for your taxes would go up, probably applying for like Medicare. There'd probably be a lot more waste, fraud, and abuse in a lot of
Why do we even have Medicare?
Why do we have Medicare? So that old people have some base level medical assistance?
Shouldn't the old people be able to just get healthcare on their own paradigm, on their own dollar?
What if they don't have money for it?
Well, then that's their fault. I mean, we live in a world that if you work hard, you'll get a very successful life. If you don't work very hard, you'll get a very crappy life, and you might die at the age of 64 due to prostate cancer because you can't afford chemotherapy.
I feel like there's enough money to be made in this country by people that are incredibly successful that it takes very little from them to make sure that like everybody else is doing pretty good. I think that it's probably important that the people that make the most money in this country are able to pay a little bit more to help other people who don't have access to the same types of talents.
Why should we babysit these people who can't afford that?
Because they're the people that allow the other people to function. Like your most successful.
But how does somebody who's a leech on society, who lives off of welfare and Medicaid and stuff, how do they contribute to society?
Well, if they're getting Social Security, that means that they paid in taxes, so they probably had some job, I mean, throughout their
life. Well, I said welfare, to be specific.
Are we considering unemployment? Social Security?
Well, I guess you're just referring to older people. But I'm more.
I mean, people probably want to feel like they're going to be taken care of in this country if they're old. I imagine that would probably influence people's desire to work as they're younger. They felt like there was no Social Security or whatever, or no welfare waiting for them. That probably discouraged a lot of people.
From working? I have terrible hearing.
Yeah, from working or from feeling like, yeah, they have a safe place in this country.
So how would... Sorry, can you repeat that? I genuinely have bad hearing.
I think that if you started to remove all of the social safety nets from the United States, a country that already doesn't have many compared to a lot of European countries, kind of the standard in the OECD, I think that people would probably feel a lot less investment in the success of this country. I think it'd be very discouraging for people to feel like they're a part of it.
If people have less taxes, wouldn't they be incentivized to work harder? And especially since a lot of the people in the higher tax brackets are taxed at such a high amount, wouldn't you think that would encourage a lot of people to work a lot harder? I mean, geez, I only worked 40 hours a week at my job when I was 18. Because I couldn't go over 40 hours because of the overtime laws and employment laws, which I think, in my opinion, are extremely gay because I want to work more than 40 hours because I'm a man who wants to make money, not be told by management I can't work more than 40 hours a week. And also, I don't want to pay taxes for when I'm an old man. I'd rather take that money that would have gone towards taxes and open a business, which I could have done a lot longer ago. You know,
if you're going to open a business, the money wouldn't go toward taxes anyways, right? It'd be write off.
What was that?
If you're going to open a business, the money would be written off anyway, right?
So well, no, not the profit. Not the profit of the business.
Not the profit, sure. But, I mean, that's after you've opened the business and you're making money.
Taxing the crap out of people disincentivizes them from working extremely hard. And it actually just incentivizes people to say, you know what? I'm fine. I don't need to work, which leads to a crappier country.
I remember in my life met a successful person who was like, I don't want to work harder here because I'm not going to make, because the money's going to be taxed more. I feel like it's kind of exceptional. But
so, like, a big part of this topic, waste, fraud, and abuse. You're generally for welfare, right?
I wouldn't say I'm generally. I guess that's a weird way of saying it. Sure.
Well, because we were talking about waste, fraud, and abuse. Republicans generally want to like cut welfare, right? That's like a policy because
they say it, but they don't go after Social Security or whatever because they know that'd be really unpopular. Same thing with Medicare, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the concern is like the waste, fraud, and abuse that can come from these kind of systems, right? I think if you got rid of half the federal employees, nothing would happen. They're not working. Come on, Destiny. They're not working.
Sure. I mean, we're on the road to finding out what's going to happen when, I guess, you've got the government and reduce the effectiveness of it to do anything. I mean, going to the future, I guess we're kind of on that road right now. So
I hope so. Maybe not, but it's a nice thought. It's a nice thought. But sure.
I mean, if that happens, like it's going to be the people making less than 60, 70K a year who are going to be the ones that are hit the hardest first. So,
yeah. It's gonna suck for a lot of the people that might actually be profiting from this waste, fraud, and abuse because one thing this is a big topic with like Republicans, right? What they don't want to talk about a lot, I feel like, is who's actually like the perpetrators of this waste, fraud, and abuse. Like who's that money going for? Like you said, a lot of this waste, fraud, and abuse is pretty interesting stuff, but a lot of times there's what they don't want to talk about is these welfare queens like Shaniqua, to like coin a phrase. They don't want to talk about these. They want to get on like the backs of like my friends, young white dudes who they don't want to be told by like HR and stuff. Oh, you got to do this. You got to do that. You're not working hard enough. They don't want to talk about this like other stuff. And then I just thought it was funny. I'll just mention this. There was funny story coming out of DC. There's this guy known as Big Balls. I don't know. He worked for Doge and he was attacked by 8 black youths. They actually said black this time. Usually they don't, huh? I actually read that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess people getting attacked is probably not good. I think one of the greatest perpetrations that the Republicans have pulled over people's eyes is trying to convince them that like welfare queens are the people that are draining all the money out of the system.
That's a huge problem.
Yeah, I don't think so. Sure. I don't think it is.
For sure.
But I think they're really happy when you're fixated on it and you're really
white
targeting
people
it.
So that they don't have kids, so that they can't have welfare. Mm-hmm. A lot of white culture in America, it shames young white people for even talking about this stuff.
Really? Of all those Republican candidates that talk about this, do you think most of them have a lot of children or do you think they only have like one or two?
They never talk about this. Who's someone that talks about this besides like, say, J.D. Vance? If even that, he barely
talks
about
does J.D. Vance
the child tax credit. Nobody doesn't talk about
it. Does anybody that talks about this have a lot of kids?
Not really. Anyone talks about this type of issue. They typically just want to beat over like the heads of like the young men who are like the future of this country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't want to talk about like the Shaniquas, to coin a phrase, you know, or a lot of these days, it's the Dalji. It's like these Indian H-1B dudes who like overstay their visas, just abuse the system totally.
I don't know if they're overstaying their visas. I think that's
where most of the abuse is coming from. Not just overstayed visas, just all of these just these immigrants, basically, who aren't here for America. They're here for
when you look at other countries, when you look at other countries on the planet, do you think there's anybody else that does in the aggregate better at managing all these issues in the US? Who do you think we should be modeling ourselves after?
That's a good question. There's Poland for a bit, but I hear that they're starting to succumb to these just anti-life policies of like bringing all these.
Do you think the rest of the world
in some ways, but that's mostly just because of how
Japan been having like stagflation for like,
well, they're starting to bring in immigrants and it's a growing topic over there because it is a concern really for any country.
Okay, so I feel like sometimes when I listen to people talk about this country, I feel like they have a lot of bad things to say about so many different parts of it, and it all seems to be fixated in a certain area, and like the government's a disaster and the immigrants are a disaster and the H-1Bs are a disaster and everything. And then I'm trying to figure out like, okay, what are we modeling ourselves after to be more successful? And then it seems like people are very eager to point to other countries that are wildly less successful than the United States in almost every single conceivable metric. But for some reason, there's a fascination with the way that they run the country. I don't know where that comes from. It's very confusing to me. Nobody on this entire planet looks at Poland and the United States and goes, oh my God, we need to be more like Poland. Like even Poland wants to be less like Poland. So they're trying to appeal more to Western European ideas.
Are setting a good example when it comes to their immigration.
Well, not many, zero. You can't point to a single one.
It's a huge problem nobody is addressing. At least
what do you think is more likely, that somebody has a problem that everybody else on the planet doesn't seem to understand, or that you're being lied to by the conservative media apparatus?
So to go back to your original point of like, what would be a good example of this, this concern of that people have, is that old school America, where people took care of their own, there was like a more limited government, and that's because you don't have to cater to a lot of the people that are now. They're just reaching their hand in the cookie jar, taking anything they want. They didn't have to deal with that back in the day. People took care of their own. They knew their own. They knew their neighbors. That's how it used to be in this country a long time ago. And I'd say that would be the model.
Okay.
Where
you
didn't need a lot of these things. There was a safety net that is important to have, but that came about a lot more naturally when this country was catering to its own.
Okay, so what is like the time travel machine that we're going to hop into to go back to 100 years ago?
I'm not saying like to go back time travel. I'm just saying that's the model.
Okay, so why is no other country exhibiting this model if it's like obviously the best way to run things?
This is a very new development. A lot of these immigration crises that have been manufactured through color revolutions in these other countries is a very new development. They didn't have to address this stuff before. Leaders, really corrupt leaders, have gotten in and promoted these policies, these anti-life policies, by bringing in these immigrants. That's been the big thing the last like couple decades.
What do you mean by anti-life policies?
Well, it's just like I said, it brings down the quality of life of everyone involved, just so these immigrants can have.
You think our quality of life in the U.S. is lower than it was 70 years ago?
Yeah, substantially, probably.
Like in what
Maybe
ways?
Not like during the Great Depression, but
like 50 years
ago. Taxes were high, things were pretty good here, but that's because it catered to the people who were here.
In what ways was our quality of life better?
Well, you know, the streets of LA used to be clean. Right now they are not clean.
You know, in the 90s, like you could barely see in front of you. It was so smoggy in this place, right?
The problems were already existing then. They've been existing for several decades now. And the big reason for that is because of immigration. These streets used to be clean back then when it was all like white Americans.
30s or 40s?
40s, 50s, 60s.
Do you even know that?
70s, 80s, 90s, when the Hispanics started taking over, they've taken over. They're the ones who own these areas, okay? They're the reason why it's filthy out here. They're the ones who live here and have been in charge of here. It wasn't like this before, okay?
Okay, so why not just employ some people to clean up the streets if that's your major concern?
Yes, get Mexicans to clean up the streets. I agree with that.
Well, I mean, it could be white people too, right?
Well, usually it's white people who are cleaning up the streets after a huge disaster like the Black Lives Matter protests. They're the ones the next day, even after these recent riots where the Mexicans got really uppity, it's white people cleaning up after all that a lot of times. So they do it. A lot of these immigrants, they don't really have respect for the way things are done here, though, just for the general like courtesy and etiquette of cleaning up after yourself like that. And that's a huge problem. That's just one way it brings the quality of life down.
Okay.
For a lot of people. I
don't think you can tie that to a certain immigrant class, but all right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.